National Radio Report. Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, September the 26th. My name is Sheldon, and Gilles is here with me. We thank you for joining us for our weekly half hour of news and information from the world of radio. Several ways you can reach us or listen to us. If you want to email us, it's radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at ckut.ca, the CKUT radio station website. We have a Facebook group called International Radio Report. There's 628 members in that group right now. You can go on Facebook, search for International Radio Report, and join the group. And finally, our YouTube channel, where you can listen to previous broadcasts of the show. It is youtube.com/International Radio Report, and you can subscribe to the channel along with the 455 subscribers we currently have on the channel. So that's all the contact information for us. And as usual, we have stories from around the world, some shortwave stories, some ham radio stories, and wrapping up with the list of upcoming ham radio contests. So first off, we have a couple stories relating to amateur radio and a couple natural disasters going on the planet this week. The first story comes from the Southgate Amateur Radio News, and the headline is Clear Frequencies Requested for a Possible Nicaragua Earthquake Traffic. The IARU Region 2 Emergency Coordinator, Carlos Alberto Santa Maria Gonzalez, CO2JC, has requested that radio amateurs in Central America avoid 7098 and 7198 kilohertz in the wake of an earthquake at 0957 UTC on September the 22nd in Nicaragua. The ARRL report says the U.S. Geological Survey said the offshore magnitude 6.5 earthquake has affected Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. The earthquake was followed by another 4.0 trembler and other aftershocks of less intensity, as confirmed by Juan de la Cruz Rodriguez Perez, Yankee November 1 Juliet, the President and National Emergency Coordinator of the Club de Radio Experimentadores de Nicaragua. It is the International Amateur Radio Union member society for Nicaragua. The earthquake occurred offshore in the North Pacific, some 60 miles from Chinandega and approximately 52 miles southwest of the resort town of Jiquilillo in Nicaragua. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake occurred at a depth of approximately 20 miles. The emergency coordinator Juan de la Cruz, YN1J, requested the frequency protection. There was no tsunami warning issued, and there have been no immediate reports of damage. Little or no landsliding is expected, but some landslides could have occurred in highly susceptible areas, and the number of people living near the areas that could have produced landslides in the earthquake is now low. But landslide damage or fatalities are still possible in highly susceptible areas. So they want to keep those frequencies available, again, 7098 and 7198 kilohertz in the 40-meter ham band, available for any emergency traffic. And in a similar story, the volcano in the Canary Islands is causing a lot of problems for the people of the island, and the IARU is designating emergency ham frequencies for the Canary Islands. This comes from the Association of Spanish Radio Amateurs. The IARU wants to keep clear the following amateur radio frequencies for emergency traffic in the Canary Islands as a result of the recent volcanic eruption. On 80 meters, 3760 megahertz, 40 meters, 7110, 20 megahertz, 14.300, and 15 meters, 21.360. So you may hear traffic if you're tuning around on some of those frequencies relating to these two natural disasters going on the planet.
So there's something that's happening with Radio France International creating some splatter on the 40-meter amateur band. You know, we usually hear that it's done by other stations, one of them Radio Havana Cuba, famous for splattering all around. But, you know, big international broadcasters, we don't hear that very often. So this is via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. The International Amateur Radio Union Region 1 Monitoring System August newsletter is reporting that Radio France International was active daily between 21 and 22 on 7205. But the report says splattering appeared massively down to 7186 kilohertz, and they call it the untenable condition. So it's, you know, really something that is apparently quite heavy. Intruders, including Voice of Broad Masses on 7140 and 7180 from Eritrea, and from time to time, China Radio International was heard on 14,000 kilohertz. That's an intermodulation mix between 13855 and 13710. There's also the usual players among them, the over-the-horizon radar system that are active almost daily, the ones from Russian container system, the British Pluto system from Cyprus, and the Foghorn over-the-horizon radar from China. Intruders monitored on Region 1 may be causing problems elsewhere in the world. So that's kind of interesting that Radio France, of all, are creating some splatters. They must be checking out that frequency. I actually listened to here. I had not noticed any splatter, but kind of interesting to see a big broadcaster caught in the act of having some problems there.
Yeah, these monitoring systems exist in all of the regions, and they keep an eye on, or an ear, I guess, on the bands, particularly 40 meters, where there's a coexistence of international broadcast stations and amateur radio activity. And these monitoring services keep an ear tuned to the bands to see if there are any what they call intruders. And they file reports and they file them with the IARU, who can then go back to look into these cases and try to eliminate this interference that goes on. The ones from France, as you say, is quite unique that I haven't heard of that causing problems before. But, you know, 7205, they're right on the border of crossing into ham territory there. But they are a primary user on the band, the broadcasters, and hams are a secondary user of the band. So these things do tend to pop up every once in a while.
Yeah, and I believe it's in that region only. Here in North America, for example, the international broadcasters are not allowed below 7300 kilohertz. But, you know, the other side sometimes is true also, that the amateur radios might sometimes be annoying. I've seen many cases of hams that just don't know that 7200 to 7300 is shared and just, you know, intentionally talk or broadcast stuff over international broadcasters. I've seen that happen a lot of times on that 40-meter band. So, you know,
you got to pay attention for sure. I've also heard some hams talking on 40 meters, and you know they're very close to a broadcast frequency, and all of a sudden the carrier will come up for a station ready to start transmitting, and some of the hams have no idea what's going on. They don't know that these are radio stations that are suddenly coming up, or why are they there? You know, so you really need to know that knowledge of, duplicate services or double services using same frequency spectrum, and who has priority over the others. There's also the case of the power too.
Oh yeah,
a ham that might be using 100 watts or something, and you may have a 50 kilowatt or 100 kilowatt or even 500 kilowatt transmitter fire up from a broadcaster. So you know who's going to win that battle.
Yep, and it's actually better today. They should be happy. I remember the times of Radio Moscow that had like 12 different frequencies on the 40-meter band all the way down to 7100.
Yeah, that was very difficult times. It's not nearly as bad as it used to be now.
So there's something that is also a special broadcast coming up, and this is via Bill Tilford. So it's the special broadcast Mexico le canta a las Americas, or Mexico sings to the Americas. That's going to happen on Tuesday, September the 28th, 03-04 UTC via WRMI on 5800. So that technically is Monday night in North America. In honor of the 200th anniversary of the end of the Mexican War of Independence, a special hour of Mexican music hosted by Luis Alejandro Valbueno with guests Gabriela Ortiz and Uncle Bill Tilford will air on WRMI with support from Grupo DX Mexico. It will be in Spanish and directed towards Central and South America, but the back end of this transmission should be listenable in most of North America and parts of Western Europe and Africa. The music will be a combination of world-famous artists and others probably not known outside of Mexico. There will also be some items regarding history, customs, and shortwave in Mexico, including special appearance by a veteran of Radio Mexico International and a longtime member of Grupo DX Mexico. So this is going to be an interesting look at Mexican shortwave radio. And, these are the kind of special broadcasts that kind of bring you back in time a little bit in the glory days of shortwave.
Yeah, Radio Mexico International, long gone from the shortwave bands, but it was kind of neat to hear that station in its day on the shortwave bands.
One of the best chances if you want to hear Mexico on the international broadcast band is 6185 Radio Educacion, because there's a few very low-powered ones, but that one, Radio Educacion, actually is often good enough, especially here in North America, to be listenable on 6185 in the evening.
How would you like to buy a shortwave radio station?
I want to.
Well, you're going to need to come up with a bit of cash. We have this story from Alokesh Gupta in New Delhi via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio and also the National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters Facebook page. WHRI for sale, transmitter and antenna details included. Family Broadcasting Corporation, owner of WHRI Shortwave in Cypress Creek, South Carolina, has informed us that WHRI is for sale. The station has two ABB 500 kilowatt transmitters and one Harris SW100B 100 kilowatt transmitter, as well as six curtain array antennas. The antennas, they go through with all the details. We'll put up a link to this. You can check out all the technical details. But it's sort of a turnkey operation. It sounds like everything is just ready to move in and yeah, set up and away you go. The asking price, of course, always important, $1.5 million. That includes the 380 acres of land at the transmitter site. So for more information, you can contact Tony Agostino of Family Broadcasting Corporation, and we'll post up the phone number and fax number and email. If you've got $1.5 million just burning a hole in your pocket, you can have your very own shortwave transmitting site with everything included, as well as 380 acres of land.
Now, you got to run it, and of course it costs money to run it, but I have to say, with 380 acres of land and a whole station, I didn't think $1.5 million was that expensive, actually.
No, not really. I mean, you know, there's some pretty good transmitters there as well. Two 500 kilowatts and 100 kilowatts, pretty good. And all of those curtain arrays. Why don't we just turn it into a de-expedition site?
Oh, that'd be nice.
We could use those antennas.
And who knows? Maybe we can start a GoFundMe and end up with WHRI.
That's right. Would be pretty neat. This, of course, was the this is the station that Alan Weiner was trying to acquire, was it
yep,
not?
Absolutely.
Right. So that deal didn't go through. So I guess it's back up on the market again. So anyways, it's all out there just waiting for a new buyer.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if somebody does grab this and maybe turn it into some new shortwave broadcast broadcaster from the U.S. It'd be interesting to see.
Even someone turning it into another relay station.
Absolutely.
Similar to what WRMI does would be really neat. It's a pretty good location. And, you know, they've got everything ready to go. So, anyways, we'll see what happens with that.
So, what's happening with our sun? Well, it last week, it was really, really quiet and nothing much was happening. But this week is different. Sunspots have appeared. There's been a couple of M-class solar flares also. And activity is picking up. The solar flux has gone back up above 90. And the four sunspot groups on the sun, that is bringing up the sunspot number to 75. There is a coronal hole that might affect today, September the 26th, or tomorrow, September the 27th, and degrade propagation a little. We'll keep an eye also, I think, on the solar flares, because the spot 2871 has been actually flaring quite a lot. So that could also change propagation conditions, but higher solar flux, higher frequency should be propagating better. So keep an eye on the sun on spaceweather.com and check out what's happening. And the best way to know what's happening is to turn on that radio and listen.
How you doing? Joe Walsh here, WB6ACU. Ham radio has given me friends all over the world who I never would have met otherwise, and it's taught me skills and electronics that have helped me in my career. I give back to amateur radio by being a member of ARRL. Thanks to its members, the league provides support for on-the-air events that give ham so much enjoyment, sending staff and volunteers to Washington to fight for our spectrum and for reaching out to the next generation of hams, teaching them about the hobby and its traditions. ARRL is the National Association for Amateur Radio. They are our voice in Washington and all around the world. Be a member. Please join ARRL. Find more out about it at ARRL.org.
Well, here in Canada, we have something similar called Radio Amateurs of Canada. And actually, one of the things that I've been starting up, I had my first lesson, is the amateur radio course that I started, because I want to get my amateur radio license after so much pressure from all the viewers of my channel and all the people around me. It's interesting. I think one of the cool things about the course is something that was missing before: the fact that you can do it online now. We were 153 people at the first class, which is, for amateur radios in Canada, I think a pretty nice number. And that course is given by Hal Penny. And so it's kind of an interesting course people are following. I was kind of curious at, you know, the mix of, you know, how many guys and how many women out there are going to follow that course. There's quite a few women. I was surprised at the amount of women that were in the class. And I think it's an interesting thing to follow. I think if you want to, you know, see the other side, not just listen, but also be able to now talk to people and interact on the radio waves. And here in Canada, what I'm following is the basic radio course. The basic course in Canada gives you HF privileges if you have what would they call basic with honors. So if you follow your basic course, you need 70% to pass. At 70%, up to 80%, what you have is VHF and above. So you'll have 2 meters, UHF, stuff like that. It's line of sight pretty much. Basic with honors means you have 80% of more score, and that gives you all the HF privileges that you want to talk on any bands from 160 to 10 meters, which is what I'm going for, because that's the part that interests me. And I think, you know, if you're thinking of getting that amateur course and you've never really gone to it, the fact that it's available online now is a great way to, you know, just do it from your home. You have the study guide that you get. You are at home, follow the course. It's well done. You can ask questions through the chat room and the Zoom meeting, and it's you know, informative and maybe a great way to get your license if you've never gone to the fact of getting into a class.
The CW requirement is no longer in effect for the Canadian license, correct?
So you don't need the Morse code requirement. One thing that does count, if you don't have the basic with honors, if you say you have 70%, you do have your license. But if you know Morse code, 5 words per minute, they will actually grant you HF. The Morse code requirement is not mandatory even for the advanced lessons that are more technical, except for a few little details. For example, if you would like to be a radio amateur examiner, well, that requires the 5 words per minute. You need to be at least at 5 words per minute in Morse code. And there's a few little details like that. There's a few things that you do need the Morse code to have that requirement for. I mean, it's really advanced stuff in general. Most people will never need any of the Morse code requirement. Put up repeaters and build your own equipment, because the basic license is you can build commercial equipment, meaning a kit that comes from a company. If you want to build your own transmitter out of scratch, you need to have the advanced license. There are little things like that. But for 99% of everything, Morse code is not required.
Okay, so for more information about the RAC courses, you can go to rac.ca, which is the Radio Amateurs of Canada website, and you'll find information on the site there about the licensing and the licensing requirements. The other thing now that happened a number of years ago is the exam is not conducted by the government any longer. It's done by licensed examiners, yeah, who are ham radio operators from various clubs or what have you. You have to look up for a licensed examiner in your area who can administer the exam for you.
So the other thing also that I've been trying, I know that you're a big fan of that, Sheldon, is
yeah,
serious exam.
What, a very long time now.
So, of course, thanks to internet ads, I saw a possibility of getting SiriusXM, kind of a trial. It's not free, but it's almost a free trial. So $1 for 3 months of SiriusXM. And when I saw that, I was tempted. I was like, yeah, for a dollar, let's explore SiriusXM a little more. So I haven't gone yet to really explore it that much, but it does definitely seem interesting. I went directly to some of the first interests of mine, which was a lot of tech, what was available as tech podcasts or content that is done on SiriusXM. And there's quite a lot of stuff to watch and to listen to, so it's interesting. So the $1 for 3 months is for the computer version, the online version with your smartphone on the SiriusXM app or on your PC. And they have another one, which is $2 for 3 months. That one adds the radio capability. So if you want to have SiriusXM in your car, it's $2 for the 3 months trial. And there's a lot of channels, like more than 325 on the one that I have. And they do have quite a lot of content, including, of course, yeah, the famous Howard Stern that is there. So if you miss Howard Stern, I remember listening to Howard Stern when he was on Shum long time ago. And I got to say, I'm a little curious to examining, listening to Howard Stern and checking out that content also.
Yeah, I think you'll find it fun. There's so much content. If you can't find something that's of interest to you, then I don't know what your interests are, because they've got just about everything covered. If you're a news buff, there's a ton of news stations, classical music, Broadway, every kind of rock and pop music you can imagine. There's just so much to choose from, and comedy channels, sports channels, such a wide variety. And as you said, if you're on the app, there are many exclusive channels that are only available through the app, which you'll never get on the car radio. So it's a nice option. They keep expanding, they keep changing things. They monitor very closely how many listeners there are to each channel, and if they see the channels are just not really doing very much, they'll switch things around. They'll put limited edition channels on, like a feature artist on a channel for a period of a month or two. Lots of different content, always changing. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I think it's worth the money. I remember people saying to me, nobody's ever going to pay for radio. Well, they've got millions and millions of subscribers all over the place now. And, it's another option. It's all radio. It just comes to you through a different manner. If they've got these nice, almost free offers available out there, worth giving it a look and see what you think of it.
Yep. And what we'll do is maybe we'll come back in a few weeks' time when I have more time to examine all of it and give my impressions of all the content. There's upcoming amateur radio contests.
Yeah, we have four contests coming up next weekend. If you're a ham operator or a shortwave listener, you may want to participate in some of these. The first one is a really interesting one. It's called the Oceania DX Contest, and it's a phone contest. 0600 October 2nd to 0600 October 3rd. All of the times are UTC times for these contests. This one's organized by the Oceania DX Contest Committee. It's in SSB. 160 through 10 meters, no work bands. Shortwave listeners are welcome to participate. They even specify that in the instructions. Ham stations from all over the South Pacific, the Oceania area, will be on the air throughout this contest. Many parts of the world that are sometimes difficult to hear, some of them small islands, small locations that don't have a lot of ham operators. So it'll be a good chance to hear some of those stations.
Definitely one to try for. There's the German Telegraphy Contest, 07 Zulu to 10 Zulu, October 2nd, sponsored by the German Telegraphy Activity Group. The mode, CW only. Note, no decoding programs may be used, so no cheating, guys. Bands and frequencies are 80-meter band, 3510 to 3560, 40-meter band, 7010 to 7040.
One of the big QSO parties is coming up, the California QSO Party. 1600 October 2nd to 2200 October the 3rd, sponsored by the Northern California Contest Club. This is CW and phone. It's 160 through 10 meters. No work bands once again.
I like the name of this one. Peanut Power QRP Sprint, 22 Zulu to 2359 Zulu October 3rd, sponsored by the North Georgia QRP Club. It's CW, SSB, QRP only, so low power only, bands 80, 40, and 20 meters.
I was reading that one, and they actually assign people a peanut power license number. So you have to register your station if you're a QRP station, and they tag you with one of these peanut power numbers that you can use in your exchange when you make contacts. So it's kind of a fun little contest. It's only 2 hours long. So
yeah,
it's
very short.
Not a very big one, but anyways, we'll put up the links for all of these contests for you to check them out.
And we are out of time already.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you have any stories for us, feel free to send them along, radioreport@yahoo.com, or you can post them up on our Facebook page, International Radio Report. And if you want to go back and listen to the show again, quickest way to do it is through our YouTube channel, youtube.com/International Radio Report, or on the CKUT.ca archives on the CKUT website. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
This is the North American service of Radio Moscow, broadcasting on 17.70,
15.45, 15.42, 15.14, 12.05, 9.87, 9.76, 9.72, 9.70, 9.72, 7.32, 7.18, 7.15, 7.11, and 6.11 megahertz.
FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye bye.
Sarah's excited to celebrate her birthday at a restaurant. She's thought about it all week. She invited her friends. She got a new dress. She went to the restaurant. She wasn't allowed in the restaurant. She had to put away her new dress. She couldn't see her friends. And she thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. A vaccination passport is now required to enter certain public spaces. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
It takes a good dose of courage and perseverance to get through a pandemic.
True, but it also takes a good dose of patience, resilience, confidence, optimism, humor, and love. Not to mention a dose of determination, endurance, empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.